ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
But there goes the full-time whistle. Arsenal have been top for 200 days, but they are top no longer. City hit that summit with five games to play, and they're top on goals scored.
For Premier League fans, Manchester City winning is not an unfamiliar sound. For Arsenal fans, that sound is dread. Arsenal were in the box seat to take out the Premier League title this season, until they weren't. Man City's 1-0 win over Burnley has put that team back in pole position. The Gunners aren't out of it entirely, but do they have the mental toughness to avoid a fourth consecutive runner-up finish against a team that has been better at winning than anyone else in the last decade? Five games to go, everything to play for. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Daniel Garb covers football for the ABC and has reported on the Premier League across his career extensively. A month ago, Arsenal were 9 points clear of Manchester City on the top of the Premier League table. Fast forward 4 weeks and City have not just caught them, but they are now ahead. How has this happened, Garby?
Well, the easy answer is that Arsenal have got the jitters. And I think that's probably the most accurate one. City have been here and done it before. They know when to start motoring at the right end of the season. And Arsenal are starting to make a habit of hitting the brakes a little bit too much when it matters. And, you know, they've had three runner-up finishes in a row. They have a title drought that spans 22 years.
For Arsenal, it is the agony of proximity. They have been so close so many years in a row. At times this campaign, it has felt like the title was in the bag. Is it slipping? Slipping from Arsenal's fingertips?
I think it would be naive to dismiss that weighing on Arsenal minds, both managers, players and fans alike. There seems to be a nervousness that has beset Arsenal right now when it comes to trying to close this title out. And City don't need any invitation to burst through that door if it is just slightly ajar. And Arsenal have been dominant all season. They've been excellent for a number of years, but it's not counting for much if you don't get over the line now. For a couple of runner-up finishes, fine. But if they lose this one with the 9-point lead, as you mentioned, and it becomes four, that starts to be a really big problem. And I think that is just weighing on them a bit right now.
It's a cliche in sport, but winning is a habit. And since Arteta took over Arsenal, they have actually spent 86 more days at the top of the table than Man City and yet have zero titles to show for it compared to their rivals four. And as you say, for the third season in a row, the Gunners have put themselves in a position to lose the title. Why does it keep happening to them? Is it all mental?
I think it's a massive part of it. I think they lack in the final third in the attacking side of the pitch a really big personality. I think defensively they've been really strong this season. I think in Declan Rice in the middle of the park, they've got a fantastic talisman to run the show. I think Martin Odegaard, for example, has been really good for them as a leader. But you look at City, for example, with Erling Haaland, and you just see this behemoth of an individual who can take charge in key moments and score important goals like he did against Burnley this morning.
Sets Haaland away. Onside here, Erling Haaland. First big chance for him. And the chance is taken. Just so clinical. It's taken just 5 minutes to show they mean business tonight.
And you said, well, where's that player for Arsenal? Sometimes in big matches and in a title race, you just need an individual to pull you out of it. You need someone to come up with a little bit of magic, because it does get tense, because teams, as the season goes on, are just fully focused on trying to shut you down with a low block defensively and keeping it tight. And they know that there's so much pressure on you to find a way to win that they prey on that a little bit. Let's frustrate them. Let's try close them down. And that starts to build. And you need those individual players, I think, to just unlock something with their brilliance. Do Arsenal have that in attack? I'm not sure right now. As a team, yes, they're excellent. But sometimes you just need that one individual to stand up. City certainly do in Haaland.
Manchester City have trailed Arsenal in the table. Arsenal for so long this season. Is this resurrection day? Is this when City come back to life?
I'm not sure Arsenal do right now, and that seems to be a problem that has plagued them for a number of years.
How much pressure do you think Arteta would be feeling at the moment?
Enormous pressure. I mean, to the point where, you know, they could finish runner-up in the Premier League for four seasons straight. They're in the semi-finals of the Champions League, and yet there is still discussion amid Arsenal fans that he could go if they don't win this Premier League title.
For a long time, it looks like Arsenal's cruise to a coronation. But now this title race is becoming all about City's comeback. The glass ceiling remains above Mikel Arteta's head.
And I can understand that. I think it would be incredibly harsh. And there's still a lot to play out here. Arsenal can certainly win this. They're level on points with City. And they're in the semi-finals of the Champions League. If they win the Champions League and lose the title, that's still a groundbreaking season for them, and one that will be celebrated enormously, as it should. But if not, you can understand why that discussion is taking place, because this could break their spirit. If they don't win this one and finish runner-up for a fourth season in a row and don't win the Champions League and go another campaign without claiming one of those big trophies, it might just be too hard for them to go again next season. And if that's the case, maybe there is a managerial change. I don't know if it would happen, but I think the discussions are valid considering it. So he would be very nervous to answer your question.
Both teams sitting on the same amount of wins, the same goal difference. Man City are just ahead on goals scored. So this next month or five matches is going to be crucial. Every goal scored and conceded absolutely matters.
Arsenal's remaining five fixtures after today, all against teams that started this weekend 12th and lower in the table. Manchester City, they still have to play four matches against teams that started this weekend in the top eight.
Five games to go in the Premier League. You add into that FA Cup for Man City and, as you mentioned, yeah, Champions League for Arsenal. Who handles the pressure and who's got this toughest run home?
I think Arsenal have a slightly tougher run home because of the Champions League semi-finals, which are going to be very difficult to manage, and is a huge opportunity for them. They've never won the European Cup in their history, Arsenal. That is damning when you consider that Chelsea have won it, Liverpool have won it six times, United have a pretty good record in Europe. Even the likes of Nottingham Forest and Aston Villa have won European Cups before, the Champions League. Arsenal have never done it, and that is something that they're also focused on at the same time. So that's going to take a lot of mental baggage in order to deal with. And that being said, the FA Cup for City is something to juggle as well in terms of managing players, but they have such a deep squad and they'll feel far more comfortable with this stage of the season, having been there and done it before and closed out many a title race, whereas Arsenal haven't. So it's definitely advantage City, not just because of their position on the ladder, but also everything else that they've been through and what they've got to deal with compared to Arsenal. But the Gunners, if you'd asked them at the start of the season, would you take this? They'd still probably say yes, because they're still level with points with City with five games to go. So sometimes you have to refresh it that way and say, yeah, okay, we've given up a big lead, but you'd still take this position at the start of the season in a two-horse race for the title with five games to go.
To be the best, you've got to beat the best. And Manchester City have just beaten the league leaders.
If you weren't a fan of either of these teams, Garby, a neutral supporter in this fight, would you take more pleasure from watching Arsenal bottle a winning season, or would you want to see Man City toppled?
If you had absolutely no interest in it at all, then you'd probably want Arsenal to break through for the feel-good story and a bit of variety in terms of Premier League title winners. They haven't won it in 22 years. City have won plenty. But there are very few supporters that don't have any sort of interest whatsoever. Even if you don't support either team, Arsenal fans have been happy to give it to, for example, Liverpool fans for many a year when they failed to win the title, when they went through that 30-year drought. They don't want Arsenal winning it after what they said to Liverpool for so long, when they were sitting around with Arsene Wenger and Thierry Henry carrying on like they were the kings of England. So there's opposition fans who are happy for City to go on and keep winning it because they've always done so, and that's not really a big threat to them.
Well, that makes it very interesting. A damaging defeat at home, just their second of the entire season for Arteta and Arsenal.
And happy for Arsenal to go through some pain. Even Manchester United fans, it'd be part of them going, well, City keep winning it. They win another one, big deal. Arsenal are big rivals. We don't want them breaking their drought. We want that pressure to keep building on them. So there's always that comes into it, which is interesting. And then you've got the North London side of it. I mean, Tottenham would love Arsenal to stuff up, but they've got their own problems to worry about. They're trying to avoid relegation, so they can't be too occupied with that.
Outside of these two, I don't know what's to become of either of their coaches when the season plays out, but the Premier League is just about the most fickle competition in the world when it comes to sacking managers. They do it for fun. And another one hit the canvas overnight with Chelsea gaffer Liam Rosenia punted just 4 months and 23 games into his tenure.
The final ignominy on a terrible Chelsea night. Another defeat, another night without a goal. Another performance that induces questions as the catalyst for recovery feels further away than ever.
What did you make of that dismissal?
Well, it wasn't surprising in the end, but unfortunately it just amounts to Chelsea being a laughing stock in terms of the way they operate. And it's been that way for a long period of time. Yes, they've had success because they've spent a fortune and they're able to bring in big name managers and big name players. But since they really broke through as a big club, which was the first stint of Jose Mourinho, and they won league titles and they had incredible players. When he left in 2007, since then, including the replacement for Liam Rosenia, which will happen at some stage this year, they will be onto their 19th manager in 19 years. That says it all. The way in which they operate is just laughable. And they are at the behest of egotistical, extremely wealthy owners, whereby one person pretty much runs the show. It was Roman Abramovich for a long period of time, and now it's Todd Boehly, the American, who I'm not sure if he has a real grip on the way things operate, but they don't operate like a business. Simple as that. And because of that, you have these crazy decisions that happen all the time, and no one really understood why Enzo Maresca was allowed to leave earlier on this season, and the replacement has been disastrous. But they've had big-name managers who have done very well, and they've gone pretty quickly too. So that's just the way Chelsea operate. It's a bit of a circus.
Daniel Garb, 5 matches to go, everything to play for. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thanks, Poppy.
Headlines. Carlton coach Michael Voss has spoken for the first time since Thursday night, and as expected, most of the questions were about the situation surrounding Elijah Hollands. Voss was resolute in backing in his team in their handling of the matter.
You just cannot possibly come to the conclusion that it is about care. What you need is obviously the support, and I'm not going to suggest that what I'm more than comfortable with is the people who are in charge of being able to do that.
He also pointed out the media and public scrutiny and the toll that's taken on people at the club.
In some ways, like, I'll be really honest, it's felt like a bordering on bullying. You've spoken, I'll speak.
Sticking with AFL briefly, and former Bulldog, now Gold Coast Sun, Jamara Ugle-Hagan will play his first game in 596 days when he lines up against the Hawks on Saturday. The announcement from coach Damien Hardwick was emotional, to say the least.
God, I'm getting emotional speaking about this. It's, the great thing about footy is redemption. Now, it provides an incredible opportunity for people to get back something they've missed for a long period of time. You're going to make me cry, so don't.
Cricket, and a Mitch Marsh 50 was not enough to get the Lucknow Super Giants over the line in the IPL as they went down to the Rajasthan Royals in what is their fourth straight loss. And tennis, the Madrid Open is not going to plan for the Australian women, with Daria Kazatkina one of 4 opening round losses. Talia Gibson, Isla Tomljanovic and Kim Birrell also lost. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to Stan Sports and the Gold Coast Suns on Instagram for the extra audio used in this episode.